This is an interview for the Youngstown State Oral History Program with Mr. James Galbraith on June 11th, 1980 at 9:20 a.m. The subject is the history of the Erie Railroads. Okay, first of all, Mr. Galbraith, you want to give us a little bit of your background, starting with where you were born, a little bit about your childhood?
Well, I was born in East Altoona. And my father worked on the Pennsylvania. I don't know what year it was, but we moved down to a place they called Rock Hill Furnace. And that was, my father got a job on the East Broadtop, the Narrow Gauge Railroad. I think my grandfather helped build it. He worked all his life on it. And my father finished out the rest of his life on it. Probably granddad helped build it, and my dad helped tear it up when it was finished. And they still run a train down there, a historical train, a passenger train that runs, I think, about 4, 5 or 6 miles. I want to call, it's down Shirleysburg. And when they first started it, they used to use two engines, one to pull it down, one to pull it back. Finally, they put a Y in it and turned the engines. And they really get people from all over the world down there. This train starts in, I think, July and runs up into September. And I stayed around there till I was 17 years old and got the idea that I'd take off to the west. I got as far as Youngstown. I've been there ever since.
Okay. Now, what did you do when you got to Youngstown?
Well, I had two uncles here, and I didn't have any money. I commuted between when one get mad at me or I'd go to the other one. And he got mad at me, and finally I picked up a job with Pete Andrews on a lumber yard. And I worked from there, and I guess that was up into 28. And they went, I lost my job there, and I took about 2 years carpenter trade. Well, I'm wrong there. It was 26, I guess, when I quit driving truck for him. And I went into the carpenter, tried to learn a carpenter trade, and it went haywire. And I went down to Newcastle in October 28 and got a job on the B&O Railroad. And worked there a few months. When the ore season stopped, I was furloughed on 29. I was called back in 29 until the Depression hit. And then I was furloughed, and I think I got one day in 1935. And then I went over on the Erie. The conductor on the B&O told me to go over on the Erie and get on a good railroad. I went over there in October 1936, and I worked up till 38, and we had another recession. I was furloughed 21 months, and I was called back to the Erie, and there ever since.
Okay, now, in 1936, what was the job? What was the first job you had?
Well, I was hired out as a brakeman.
Now, what's a brakeman do?
Well, he'd have what to call a conductor, and whatever the conductor tells him to do, and he usually follows the engine around and helps make up trains, break up trains, and take orders from the yard master or whoever, wherever he sends us, we take the train.
Okay, then you said you were furloughed, and then you came back.
Well, I come back and went back on the extra list as a break room.
As a break room, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, where do you go from there?
Well, then they call us in, we promote us to what they call a flagman, and that, when you get to be a flagman, you go to the rear of the train, you protect the train, and do the field work of making up these cars. You get a train in there, why, you'll switch it out and separate the cars wherever they're going to go. And when you take a train out of the yard, you go to, you protect the rear of the train till you get to your destination. And you're still working under the conductor and the yard master.
Okay. And after you were a flagman, where do you go next?
Well, then you promoted to a conductor. And then you're the boss. And you tell the flagman and the head man what they're supposed to do. And the yard master, he'll call you in, give you a list of the train, and you switch it out, and line up and make up trains. And when you get it made up, why, you put it on the air. In the air, the car inspectors take over till they're through, and when they're through, why, then we turn it over to the dispatcher. He takes it out on the main, call a road crew, and they take it from wherever they want to go.
Okay, now this would be a yard conductor, right?
That's right.
All right, then after that, what did you do next?
Well, the war came along. In 41, I started working extra yard master. After you got a job yard master, why then you tell the conductor what you want done. Except you wait until chief dispatcher, you go to work there, well, whatever shift you're working, first thing you do, each yard master turns over to the yard and he tells you what's in the yard and you have. Then the next thing you do, you call the chief dispatcher and you tell him what cars you got in the yard and how many cars. And between the two of you, you decide whether you're going to run a, where you're going to run a train, and he'll tell you to call a crew for Meadville or Kent, Shenango, wherever he wants you, maybe to Cleveland. And then you'll go out, you'll get the list, you'll tell the clerk to give you the bills and of what we make up a consist of the train, and you hand that to the conductor, and he'll go out and switch these tracks and make up a train in order for like Niles, Warren, Leavittsburg, Kent, Marion, Chicago. And after you get that, why, then you'll call in, put the airman on. Usually when you put the airman on, it took about an hour and a half, 2 hours to work the train, and then you'd call a road crew, give them a 2 hour call, and by the time they come out, well, you'd give the bills to the conductor and get their engine put on, and conductor and flagman would kick the brakes off the train and take their bills and check their cars. And they'd call up the dispatcher and get a clearance and get out on the main track. They're on their way.
Okay, now during the war years, then you worked as a yard master.
That's right.
Right.
I worked extra up till, I think, 1946. When I got a regular job on what we called out of town, the pastor. I went on to work passenger trains from, well, the biggest part of the time. I got a regular job then at 46 and held that up till I retired.
Okay. Doing the same thing, only with passenger trains?
That's right. We'd get these passenger trains come in and it was up to the, well, the chief dispatcher, and the dispatcher would tell us what was coming, and we got what they call a consist. And we knew when the train left Chicago or New York what was in the train, and then en route they would pick up cars, and it seemed that when it hit Youngstown, they just put all these cars on the head end, and when it reached Youngstown, well, we had to switch it and make the station order. And it was quite a chore. It was fun. A lot of excitement. People, you handle the public, and you have to get the mail lined up, the express lined up. And just people got on and off the train.
What was passenger service like in 1946?
Well, it was rough. It was not, there was a lot of it. And I worked second trick down there, and I think that was, nobody else wanted it, so I would think about the roughest trick that there was in 4 to 12. All the trains seemed to come in there at once, and to keep the freight trains out of the way, and that was the dispatcher and the chief's job, and to get the passenger trains in and out on time. That was my job.
Okay. Did you belong to a union?
Yes, I belong to the trainmen, BORT, and the Yardmasters of America.
Okay. What were your impressions of the unions?
Well, they were good. I enjoyed it. It kept the men in line and helped the supervision. They had any problems, I had what they call a griever, and they went to him with their problems, and he went from there to the superintendent, and they got along very nicely.
Do you think unions have changed since when you first joined them?
Yes, I do. I think they're too strong without order, for one thing. It used to be that, I don't know, you got along a little better than you did now, but now it seems that they want everything and give nothing.
Okay. What is your feeling about the merger that took place between the Erie and the DLMW?
Well, sometimes I think maybe it wrecked the Erie, but it done. We got a lot of work, a lot of business off of the Lackawanna. I don't know. From there on, that seemed to be the downfall after the merger. Well, they done away with the steam engines and put in diesels. I don't know, it seemed to go from bad to worse. We ran out of business, that's all.
Okay, well, we're still on the subject of merging. What's your opinion of the recent consolidation?
I don't think much of it. If, I don't know, that outfit down in Washington, I don't know if they put a shoemaker in there to be a railroader, and instead of taking the men out of the ranks to run the railroad, why, they're getting in what we call schoolboys. They put a pencil around their ear and down there, and got a 2 or 3 months' work, and they're going to tell you how to do the work. And you've been doing it for 40 or 45 years, they're going to come in there overnight and tell you how to do it. It don't work.
What do you think would have been better for the government to have done with these railroads rather than just mass them together like this? Or do you think that was all right, it's just the management?
Well, it's the management of it. If they'd used railroad men to run the railroad, I think it would have been done all right, but they didn't do that. I don't know. Well, Washington down there, they don't know nothing about it on the railroad. Why don't they let the officials, when I was railroading, we had good officials. You got into trouble, well, you know, the guy, the boss of Bobby, he would try to get you out of it. And very seldom would ever let the superintendent's office. I've been into some pretty rough stuff. I've always crawled out of. But today, there is no, there's no getting out of it at all. You've got two bosses running around there with a pencil behind their ear, watching behind the pole, or what the other guy's doing, and nothing, nobody doing nothing.
Okay. What are your impressions of the Western railroads?
Well, I don't know too much about the Western railroads, but they don't seem to have the cities and stuff to contend with that the Eastern railroads have. After you leave Chicago, you've got a lot of cities to go through, and a lot of yards, and everybody, when you leave Chicago with a train, well, unless you've got a through train, you've got to stop almost every state or every city and set off and pick up, and which out in the West, I don't think they've done that. They didn't have the cities, and when they got a hold of a train, well, they'd go for miles before they'd ever stop. But on the Eastern, you might go 10 miles and be there 2 or 3 hours switching, picking up and setting on, and switching these firms.
Okay. What is your general impression of railroading as a whole? Would you encourage a young man today to go into railroading?
No. No, I wouldn't. Because
why not?
There's no future in it. I don't know where they're going to go. I hope they come back. And for my part in railroading, railroading went to pot whenever they changed from coal, from the steam engine to the diesel. Done away with an awful lot of men. Done away with the track men. And after they done away with the track men, the roadbed went to pot. Now they're trying to fix it up, but I don't know, blind leading the blind is the way it looks to me.
I had one gentleman tell me that he thought steam engines would come back because of the fuel situation.
Well, I wish it would come back. I love the steam engine. It was a challenge for an engineer to take a steam engine and take a train out. Like Mr. Palmer said, they give them tonnage, and if you had a good engineer, you could give him a couple hundred ton extra and tell him what he had, and he'd go over the hill all right. And the men, the management got along good. But today, the way it is, management, the men don't get along. So if they give him 200 pounds, well, you can bet your boots that as soon as he hits the hill, he's done, he stalls.
Okay. What are your feelings about federal regulations of the railroads? Do you think they ought to be slackened somewhat, or do you think that they're all right the way they are? We need them, or?
Well, they got too many for, in one sense of the word, and some for like inspection of trains and stuff. I don't think they got enough. And I don't know. If they put it back into people know how to run railroads, I think we get along much better.
Okay, looking back, would you have chosen any other career?
No.
You did the same thing over again?
I would. I loved it.
Okay, thank you for the interview.
Okay.